everything about God is worthy of praise. There is nothing of evil in him. There is nothing of mediocrity in him. There is nothing of failure in him. There is nothing of finitude, finiteness in him. There is nothing temporal, time-bound in him. There is nothing needing improvement in God. Everything about God is worthy of praise. We are created for his praise. We are created to praise him, to extol and revere and enjoy his glory. And in our fallenness, we do none of this. We don't do what we were created to do. But that's why we are saved. We are saved so that we can praise him. Now, we know with sorrow that we praise him imperfectly. Our praise of God is not all it should be. But that's why God sanctifies us. That's why God grows us, so that we will more and more conform to the image of Christ. And as God grows us in every aspect of Christ-likeness, he grows us to be worshipers. Praise is not extra credit for the keeners among us. Praise is not an elective that we can take or leave depending on our mood or our interests. Praise is not frivolous emotionalism. And praise is not a Christian version of partying. We are to love God with all our heart, and praise is a vital way to express our love for him. Praise is a command of God. He commands us to praise him. And like every command of God, he himself empowers us in our obeying. And his commands always have the purpose of his glory and our joy. So lest we think that God is a nasty, selfish tyrant commanding us to praise him, remember that praising God is expressing our satisfaction in the all-satisfying one. Praise is expressing our joy in him who is the only source of true joy. Today we will hear five expressions of praise that occur in Luke chapters 1 and 2. We will hear praise uttered by Elizabeth and Mary and the angels and Simeon and Anna. Last week we looked at the proclamations that we find in Luke 1 and 2. Today we look at the praises that we find in Luke 1 and 2. What happens in your heart when you are with a brother or sister who opens up in praise to God? Your heart wells up with praise. Your heart begins to open up in praise as well. And that's what I'm sure the Lord wants for us today. Today, may the Holy Spirit stir our hearts to praise, and may the Holy Spirit use Elizabeth, Mary, the angels, Simeon, and Anna to lead us into praise. First, let's praise the Lord along with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months into her miracle pregnancy. Her son, Zechariah, and Elizabeth's son will be John the Baptist. And Mary, a relative of Elizabeth, is newly pregnant by the Holy Spirit with her baby, Jesus. We read in Luke 1, beginning at verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The angel Gabriel made it clear to Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, that he and Elizabeth's son would be the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy at the very end of the book of Malachi, that God would send Elijah to prepare the people for the Messiah. So Elizabeth knew that her son would be the prophesied forerunner of the Messiah. Well, obviously, if the forerunner is on the way, the Messiah himself is also on the way. Zechariah and Elizabeth must have pondered all of this, including how would they recognize the Messiah, or would they be given any advanced notice from God as to the identity of the Messiah? The only answer was, when the time was right, the Lord would somehow have to point the Messiah out to them. Now, as Mary walked into Elizabeth's house, I think we can safely say that Elizabeth was unaware that Mary was pregnant. The angel Gabriel had told Mary of Elizabeth's miracle pregnancy, and then we are told that Mary went with haste to visit Elizabeth. Mary may have been in the first week or so of her pregnancy. How would Elizabeth have known that Mary was pregnant? They couldn't phone each other. But here in one verse, we are told how God pointed Elizabeth to the Messiah. Verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Baby John's leap was a wake-up call. It clearly was more than your average kick. And the information that Elizabeth needed to know came from the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Elizabeth was not left in any doubt. God let her know, here is the mother of the Messiah. She says, verse 43, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth and Mary must have been a great help and encouragement to each other for those 3 months that they were together. Elizabeth in her last trimester of pregnancy, and Mary in her first trimester. Luke 1:42 is Elizabeth's expression of praise, and it is praise to Jesus, Jesus in Mary's womb. Verse 42, "And she," Elizabeth, "exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" I suppose that Elizabeth was the very first person to praise the incarnate Jesus. She says, blessed is the fruit of your womb when Jesus is only a few days old in the womb. Elizabeth refers to Mary as the mother of my Lord. So the fruit of Mary's womb, just a few days old in the womb, Elizabeth calls my Lord. And now we can praise the Lord with Elizabeth. We can say, Jesus, you are our Lord. We bless you. The second expression of praise is Mary, when she speaks in response to Elizabeth. First, Mary praises the Lord for the blessings that she has personally received from the Lord. So verse 46 and following, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Mary knows the blessing the Lord has bestowed upon her, and she praises the Lord for it. Now, when Mary says, all generations shall call me blessed, there's no pride in that statement. There's no desire for fame on Mary's part. She is simply acknowledging the truth. This was a great blessing from God. All generations would call her blessed. Here we are, 2,000 years later, seeing and celebrating God's blessing to Mary. And what Mary gives us here is an example to follow. By her example, she points us to worship. 46, verse 46 and 47, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. Well, as with Mary, so with us. When blessings come, praise should follow. We should remember also that when trials come, praise is still in order. Think of Mary for a moment. Not only her pregnancy, pregnant out of wedlock, we know how people would respond, but her whole life full of trials as she watched her son suffer in so many ways. But in time of trial, God is still all wise. He is our loving Father, and he is sovereign. He is worthy of our praise. Even when we face trials, he is working all things for our good. Mary also praises the Lord for his glorious character. Verse 49, holy is his name. Verse 51, he has shown strength with his arm. And 54 and 55, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Mary praises God for three of his great perfections, his holiness, his power, and his mercy. When a blessing comes, we are certainly right to thank God for the blessing itself, but we can also step back and look up, and like Mary, we can think about the character of the God who has blessed us and simply praise God for who he is. Still looking at Mary's praise, there are two more aspects of Mary's praise. She praises God that he exalts the humble and that he brings down the proud. God exalts the humble. Verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And verse 52, He has exalted those of humble estate. And 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. And God brings down the proud. Verse 51, he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. 52, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and the rich he has sent away empty. So these two acts of God, exalting the humble and bringing down the proud, are two sides of the same coin and are actions of God that we see throughout Scripture. Both Peter and James sum it up like this: God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Of course, the humility that counts before God is just that, humility before God. And true humility before God comes to us in the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. Only the saved can be truly humble before God. So as believers, we choose humility and we set our hearts on humility by God's grace, in our lives. Each day we make choices to react to circumstances with humility or with pride. To choose the route of humility is a real decision that we make, and it's a decision that can be painful and can be costly. But God gives grace to choose humility and to follow through with that choice. And the result is God bestowing more grace still. You may remember that Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2 carries this same theme: God exalting the humble and bringing down the proud. Should it surprise us that both of these women, Mary and Hannah, are astonished at God's kindness to them, God exalting them, God blessing them, when up until then they had lived lives in humble obscurity? And it is not lost on these two women that throughout history, God has opposed human pride. God raises up the humble and he brings down the proud. He does both, and he should be praised for both. The third expression of praise is the multitude of angels appearing to the shepherds. First, it was one angel all by himself speaking to the shepherds, and then suddenly there's a multitude of angels. So first, let's hear that single angel speak to the shepherds. Luke 2:11. The angel says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The angels praise God with the words, "Glory to God in the highest." Like the angels, we live for the glory of God. We live to give him glory. In no way does that mean that God is deficient and needs us to give him what he lacks. We don't give God glory because he is needy for glory and we step in to meet his need. No. God is all glorious. He is infinitely glorious. We ascribe to God the glory that he is due. We acknowledge that all glory is His. In our praise to God, we are enjoying the One who is the one and only source of true joy. To glorify God is to enjoy His joy. He is not lacking in joy. He gives us His joy. And to glorify God is to love supremely the One who has poured His love into our hearts. He's not lacking in love. He gives us love from the fountain of His infinite love. So when we and the angels say glory to God in the highest, we are extolling God for who He is in the perfection of His glory. We're not filling up what is lacking in His glory. We are adoring Him for the perfection of His glory. The last part of verse 14 is also an expression of praise. The angels say, "And on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." This is a description of another of God's praiseworthy actions. He grants us His peace just as He grants us His love and His joy. When we experience peace with God and peace in our heart, we are experiencing God's own peace. God shares with us His own perfect peace. The angels said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." The angels are praising God for the glory that they, being angels, have seen in the highest. And they are praising God for the gift of peace that He lavishes on His people. So we who love God's glory and love the peace that He gives can also praise God with the angels. We can say with the angels, "Glory to God in the highest. Lord, we see Your glory, and Lord, we love Your glory." The fourth expression of praise is from the old man Simeon. 40 days after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus were at the temple to offer the purification sacrifice, because for 40 days after childbirth, a woman was considered ceremonially unclean. Those 40 days are completed. They are there to offer the sacrifice. And we are told that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. That is how Simeon knew that this baby boy was the Messiah. The Holy Spirit made it known to him. So we read in chapter 2, verse 28 and following, "He," Simeon, "took him," the baby Jesus, "up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now You are letting Your servant depart in peace according to Your word, for my eyes have seen Your salvation that You have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to Your people Israel.'" This is Simeon's praise. He says to the Lord, "My eyes have seen Your salvation." Seeing Jesus, even as a baby, was in fact seeing God's salvation. "My eyes have seen Your salvation." Simeon understands that Jesus is salvation. And as salvation, Jesus is light. Jesus is light not only to the Jews, but to all Gentiles as well. Jesus is glory to Israel, it says in verse 32, Israel's great glory, is being God's channel to bring the world a Savior. And Jesus is revelation to the Gentiles, also verse 32. Jesus is God's ultimate revelation of himself to the whole world. Simeon praises God with the words, "My eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." Simeon realized that he was seeing just the start of God's salvation plan for the world. The Messiah was still only a baby, after all. But Simeon is inspired by the Holy Spirit to make it clear that the Messiah has entered the world to be salvation for the world, for all peoples. Simeon's words are both praise and proclamation. His praise has a view toward the whole world hearing of God's salvation. His words remind me of verses like Psalm 108:3. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." This is both praise and proclamation. Simeon has a desire for everyone, all peoples, to hear of God's salvation through God's Messiah. May we also desire to utter praise that many people will be able to hear. You know, we mustn't assume that every word of our witness must be a word of explanation. Yes, we explain the gospel when the time is right to explain the gospel, but probably more often, our words of witness will be words of praise that we freely speak in the hearing of those who are unsaved. The fifth and final expression of praise in Luke 1 and 2 is from Anna. Anna was an old woman who, ever since being widowed at a young age, has spent her life at the temple. Let's hear from Luke about this godly woman. This is what we read immediately after Simeon has spoken to Joseph and Mary. So chapter 2, verse 36. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Like Simeon, Anna also understands that this baby, Jesus, is the Messiah. So here is Anna's praise and how she carried it out. We're told, verse 38, "She began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Anna knew lots of people who frequented the temple. She knew those who, like herself, were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Those waiting for Messiah to come and free Jerusalem from the yoke of Rome. Those who had a burden and a yearning for Messiah to come. And here, finally, was the Messiah, still just a baby boy in the care of his parents. But Anna, in sharing her words of praise, was sharing her joy. Think about your own praising God with others, others who share the same hunger for God. Praising God together is one of the clearest reasons why we need each other in the body of Christ. We share our praise with others. We are sharing our joy with others. In Luke 1 and 2, we've shared in the praises of Elizabeth and Mary and angels and Simeon and Anna. We can also share in each other's praise of the Lord, and it mightily moves our hearts when we do so. This week, be sure to share praise to the Lord with family and friends. The sharing of praise is a sharing of joy. Praising the Lord together is sharing together in the joy of the Lord. Let's bow together. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord. We recognize you as Lord, just like Elizabeth recognized you as her Lord. We call you our Lord. We confess you as Lord of all and Lord of our lives. Lord, we see your blessings in our lives, just as Mary saw the blessings that you had poured into her life, and she thanked you and praised you for it. We see your blessings in our lives, and we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we pray that you would keep working humility in us. As Mary's prayer reminds us, you raise up the humble, you bring down the proud. Keep working humility in us for your glory and our joy. Lord, we ascribe glory to you along with the angels. We acknowledge you as all-glorious. We see you with the eyes of our hearts, the all-glorious one. We glory in your glory along with that multitude of angels. And Lord, we praise you, and we want to praise you in such a way that the unsaved world will hear our expressions of praise. We want to have the same heart as Simeon. So Lord, grant us the joy and the privilege of praising you with our mouths, in such a way and in such circumstances that the unsaved will hear our expressions of praise, along with Simeon. And Lord, we praise you together as fellow believers. We realize, Lord, we share joy as we share praise. So with Anna, we want to be speaking words of praise to you so that fellow brothers and sisters can join in the praise and join in the joy. So we give ourselves to you now. We thank you for the week that is lying ahead of us as we are gathered together now on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Guide us through this week. Give us freedom and joy and the prompting and guidance of your Holy Spirit to talk to people, whether by phone or text or email or however you might sovereignly allow us to talk to people. And when we are together, may we praise you. May we praise you for your glory and, yes, for our joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Amen.